Lord, you have this in your hand, don't you? We're going to dive in, and we're going to continue in the series called You Are Here, understanding some real unique things about our lives and where we're at and where God wants to take us. Now, my question in beginning with you, by the way, let me just say this. Would you tell your Dodgers to be nice to my Tigers? Gee. So, I'm getting text messages from you. Yeah, okay. Anyways, my question today is this. Are you passionate for God? Because the more passion we have for God, the less desire we will have for other things. So let's talk about being a disciple of God today. And being passionate about that. In other words, that whatever the enemy does, that we're learning how that each one of us have a battle with the enemy, a spiritual battle that he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy the actual future that God has for you. Now, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to dive over to Ezekiel, but just turn to Mark 4. And again, we're in a series called You Are Here. And we are basing this series on Mark 4, which is the sower sows the seed. So let's catch up, and this is the third week. We found out that there are four groups of people attending church. Remember, quite a few years ago, we were part of a test and a trial. And so we found out that there are four groups of people that attend church. The first group, we talked about the first week, is those that are attending church, but they haven't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They literally are seeking the Lord. If you're watching online, if you're listening to a podcast and you're here, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord, we're so grateful that you're here. We're so grateful that you're watching because we were in the same boat you were in. We were there one day. We knew that there was something inside of us that we desired, and we really didn't know what it was, and so we began to check it out. And that's why to the body of Christ, you need to understand that there are millions of people checking you out because inside them, God had given them a measure of faith to seek after God. And because they don't see things in a spiritual realm, they look at the physical and they're watching what you and I do. So it's so important that we know that not that we're, you know, like Hollywood, that we're up there and we have a false face, but bottom line is that we live our lives and we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we share the gospel in our lives, not just by preaching or talking about it, by living it out. Now, in this first group, I talked to you about that they were exploring God, and we identified them as fellowship. They are desiring fellowship with what they are seeking. The second group is relationship. We covered that last week. And we talked about this last week, that this group is beginning with God. It's a place that maybe some of you here and watching online, you're there. And maybe you're seeking a church. Maybe you're online and you're trying to figure out, where do I go? I'm told that I'm supposed to, now that I'm born again, I'm supposed to attend church. And so I want to tell you, this is one of the greatest groups of people you'll ever find. So come and visit us because you will learn a lot here. So again, this group is beginning with God. And the growth process is you had first explored God, and then you received Christ, you found him, and then you begin in your journey with the Lord in growing in the Lord. And in Mark 4, it talks about all these groups. The third group, we found that you become close to God, or we call this discipleship, and we're going to talk about this today. Our message is regarding discipleship and how you get there and how Jesus shows us what the enemy tries to do to keep you away from falling in love with the Word of God. The last group, group number four, we can call it God-centered or GC, or Gary Klaus, no, just GC. And this group is about lordship. It's literally about being God-centered, that he's become Lord. There are many people that we have found in life that love God, are born again, they're going to heaven, but really he's not Lord of their life. And so the fourth group is that he becomes Lord of everything in your life. From your decision-making, everything that you do, he's Lord, and he comes first. We also found that in these four groups, you have three movements. You have the first move from one to two, again, when you understand grace. And because you understand the grace of God, that Jesus Christ died for you, then you receive Christ as Lord and Savior. And the second move is from group two to group three, which we're talking about today, is when you understand that God's word is the final authority, so you begin to dive into the word of God, and in your soul nature, your flesh, you begin to change the way you live, the way you talk, the way you think about things. The joy of the Lord becomes your strength because you know whatever you're seeing, the word of God is true. You've caused the word to become first place in your life. And then the last move, the third move, is from group three to four, is when you understand giving. And the moment a pastor talks about giving, you run right to tithe and offering. Well, that's part of it, but in essence, it's about giving your life away to the Lord. It's about if God would say to you, I want you to change everything in your life and do this now, you don't balk at that. You say, you're Lord of my life, and I will do exactly what you asked me to do. And that's next week. We're going to talk about that. Bring your friends, because I want to tell you, so many people struggle and they back up in their walk with God because of tribulation in this world. That's what Mark 4 is talking about. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's answering a question and he's telling them, this is how you have victory in your life. This is how you handle all the junk that the world has to offer you. And then you move forward because why? Because you are taking these steps and there's moves in your heart that you take greater steps of walking in your journey with God. So always remember, in every stage, no matter how young you are or mature you are in walking with the Lord, in every stage, the enemy is attacking. Because he's wanting to steal the word. Because if he knows he can steal the word, then he can steal the joy of God in your life. So when you understand the attacks, it kind of reminds me when we go to the beach here in California, any coast of an ocean, you will have an undertow. And so I want you to recognize, no matter where you're at in the Lord, it's not that the enemy's picking on you, and you become offended in areas of life. It is bottom line, in the spirit realm, there is what the word and the leading of the Holy Spirit gives, and then there's an undertow of the enemy trying to pull you away from that. And in Mark 4 and other scriptures, it is described what that battle is and what he uses. But let me just ask you this, those that are involved in sports, isn't it great when you're involved in a sport and you have a coach that has a plan instead of a coach that doesn't have a plan? Guys, just get out there and do your best, you know, and you get destroyed. God's got a plan for you. He's also showing us the enemy's plan. Amen. And when you understand that, then when stuff arises in your life, you're not falling apart and falling to all the junk that is out there, that you know the truth, and that truth sets you free. So we need to stand our ground, just like in the undertow. You know, if you're just real lightly walking, it can trip you up. And that's what Scripture tells us about. So now look at Mark chapter 4, and we're going to begin with verse 7, and then we're going to jump down and give where Jesus described the parable, and then he literally he talks about the parable, and then he describes it and tells the disciples, what does that parable mean? And some seed fell among thorns. Underline or remember thorns or click on that. And the thorns grew up and choked it, speaking of the seed or the word of God, and it yielded no crop. Have you ever been to a place where, at work, you're constantly doing the same thing, but you're not getting any result? That's like a battle of what is going on. See, this is a picture in the spirit realm, is that what happens is the enemy comes in and he steals the word. And because the word is stolen, not that you don't love the word, not that you're not still reading the word, but the word has been stolen through some things. And because of that, the word doesn't produce. It's not that the word can't produce, but it doesn't produce because it's been eaten. It's been removed out of your heart. And you say, well, Pastor, that's kind of simple. It is very simple. It's a parable. And it's very simple that we recognize that. So drop down to Mark 4, 18. Now these, speaking of disciples, your disciple, are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. Notice, they hear the word, they're attending church, they're doing the right things. I don't know if any of you ever said this, I'm doing all the right things, and it's not working. He's showing us why. And the cares, look at this, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Jesus actually tells us how the thorns are going to come against you. Now, Jesus describes the thorns as the attack. But remember, last week we talked about types and shadows. We talked about this big symbolic and parabolic language in the Bible. And when you understand it and you understand spiritual language of the Bible and what it means, you'll see it throughout the Bible saying the same thing. But when you understand it, then you will begin to recognize the full Bible. That's why Jesus says, if you don't understand this parable about the sower sowing the seed and the enemy comes to steal it, then you can't understand anything else in life through the word. All right? So remember, birds in Scripture represented Satan and evil forces, demonic forces. It doesn't represent your parakeet. All right? Jesus himself said, the birds of the air come and steal the seed. So they questioned the Lord again, and they said, Jesus, what does that mean? And Jesus answered, that is Satan and his forces coming against you. And when it says coming against you, it's coming against the word in you. So sometimes you read the word, and what do? Fall asleep. There are times because of busyness, especially when I was in school, is I would read the word, but I would walk. I would walk. You say, well, that's dangerous for me because I still fall asleep when I walk. No, you won't fall asleep. But you're getting in the word of God. But we're learning now there's a key, and we're going to talk about this a little bit today and next week. There's a key of hiding the word in your heart. that those dumb birds can't get it. All right? But we're going to see how we hide it in the heart. So the birds of the air come and steal the word. They question Jesus, and he says, his bottom line, when you bring the word into you, the enemy immediately comes to steal it. So Jesus said, remember, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand anything else. Now, I haven't gotten to the first point because I'm showing you, again, symbolic language, because we get so tripped up with the Bible. And I just want to help you to become hungry and looking for these things. All right, I'm going to show you some other symbolic language, and I'm going to show you how many times the same word is being used, and we think it one thing, but it represents something else. So Jesus said thorns, and thorns choke the word. So what do thorns represent? Before I tell you this, let me show you another word, scorpion. Anybody step on a scorpion before? All right. Luke 10:17 says this, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons, or we could even say the dumb birds, are subject to us in your name. Verse 18, basically saying, that doesn't impress me. Watch this. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So you just picture Jesus right there. They came back, Jesus, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, demons just, they ran from us. And Jesus goes, I was there when he was kicked out. All right? So he's not focusing, and neither am I. He's not focusing on demons. He's not focusing on the power that we have in Jesus' name and running around in Jesus' name. He's focusing on that this is real life as a spiritual believer, as a disciple, that you can walk in your life and instead of seeing like lightning falling out of the sky every single day when the enemy comes in, you stop him right away because you know what he's trying to do. And you hang on to it. But you know, I've seen people who love Jesus with all their heart go through divorce. I've seen them lose their businesses. I've seen them fall to immorality. And they love Jesus with all their heart. But the enemy came in and they didn't know about that, stole the word. They weren't producing any spiritual fruit and they fell into sin. And they get mad at God. Well, I'm not going to church anymore. That stuff doesn't work. And because we don't understand the simplistic aspect of being a disciple. Let's read on. Verse 19, Jesus says, behold, look, recognize, understand this. I give you the authority. The same authority I had and have, I give to you. To trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power, everyone say all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So Jesus is responding over what they said, even the demons are subject to my name. You have authority, guys. So the 70 said demons. Jesus calls the demons, symbolic language, serpents and scorpions. It's clear, serpents and scorpions are symbolic of demonic influence, of the attacks of the enemy. So either we believe that, or we need to be religiously correct and bring a bunch of scorpions and snakes in here. Anybody want to do that? Now, we have some families in our church that collect snakes, but I tell them, leave them at your home. Don't bring them here. So it is a spiritual thing that immediately the enemy comes in, and every time you see, Satan as a snake, serpents, scorpions. And we have to see that. Don't get all fumbled around in what's going on, because we understand the parable. That when you get the word in you, we got these four categories. We have three movements, and we've described them every week. You have it in front of you. But every time you take the word in, the enemy comes immediately. Don't tell me, well, I've been in church 30 years, and I've read through the Bible 30 times, and it doesn't happen to me anymore. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And you have to recognize that. Because why? Because you have to, remember I asked that question? You have to be passionate about the Word of God. If we are living our lives and we're not passionate about the Word, then Jesus is saying, I want you to know why, because the birds of the air, the serpents, the scorpions, demonic influence is coming at you, and he's using areas of life to rip you off. And we're going to describe those today and really go deep into it next week. So Jesus himself called serpents and scorpions demons or demonic influence. Now in Ezekiel chapter 2, I want you to look at this because of time. I'm just going to read this quickly. You can click to it and turn to it. But Ezekiel 2 verse 3 through 5 says, and he said to me, son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation, he's talking to the prophet, that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, for they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. Now watch carefully. And you, son of man, speaking to the prophet, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you. He's saying to the prophet, you're going to go in there, you have my word, you're going to give them the word, you're going to give them the truth, but I want to tell you, when you go there, there are going to be briars and thorns. There's going to be a demonic influence that is there that you are facing. And you dwell among scorpions. Everywhere you go, there's going to be a demonic influence, a spiritual attack to try to stop you from proclaiming my word. You're going to find rebellion. You're going to find all this stuff. But keep preaching. Keep living your life the way you live your life, according to my word. That's for you and me too. Because you have to understand that we have a God that just loves us like we can live our whole life, 100 years, and not understand the fullness of God's love. We can understand a lot of it, but it's so huge. And every day we can learn more about who our God is and how much he loves us. You are, we're learning in OSL, you are his daily delight. But God gets blamed all the time. When Jesus told us, listen, it's not that God hates you or you've been a bad boy or bad girl. I want to tell you, whether you're good, bad, tall, short, whatever, the enemy is going to come after you to steal the word out of your heart. So hide it. Keep it in your heart. Be passionate about the things of the Lord. Now, what is he saying? You will dwell among scorpions, briars, and thorns. He's not talking about literal thorns or literal scorpions. He is saying, my people, Israel, have turned away from me. Therefore, because they rebelled, the enemy now has come in. That's why when you go there, it's going to be all over the place. The word is not first place. The enemy has fooled them and ripped them off, and now they're not bearing fruit. I want you to go in there and change it because I love them. Ezekiel, when you when you go to prophesy, you will be among thorns and scorpions. You will see and understand where you're at. There will be a demonic entity or influence that is there. Keep preaching my word, because it's the word of God that will bring victory. There's a demonic influence that's influencing our culture today. You may ask, Pastor, why are you so animate in showing us these truths? Because bottom line, you've heard this before, and I think it's a good illustration, because I'm trying to teach you how to fish. My brother for years was a captain of his fishing boat. And he'd go out, and I'd go there because I'm traveling around the world ministering the gospel, and he's doing real fishing. So I go, I listen to him. He teaches me how to fish, so that he didn't fish and say, here, have a fish. I was able to enjoy it. And what I'm trying to get you to a place in discipleship of really being passionate about the word and growing and entering OSL and being at Bible studies and listening to the word and reading the word and journaling and men getting on the Zoom with the guys and journal together and listen to the word and teaching of the word of God. Why? Because I want you to know how to fish, catch fish, and bear fruit. And the only way that happens is if you hide the word in your heart. You become a passionate disciple for Jesus Christ and his word. I'm trying to get you excited about the Bible and how amazing the Bible is. So let me show you now a very famous scripture. I'm not to my first point yet. The Greek word for angel, angelos, and it's in the New Testament 186 times. 7 times it's translated messenger, but it's still the same word, angelos. Watch this scripture and watch the word thorn in context. 2 Corinthians 12:7. It's Paul writing. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger, angelos, of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now, theologians argue and talk about all this stuff, and they talk about Paul's thorn. You know, some people, sorry guys that don't have any hair on top of your head, they thought he had a head disease, he didn't have hair. People thought it was his eyes, he couldn't see. And people had to lead him around. And so just let me tell you, there's no debate that this word is angelos, messenger, something there that is attacking him. And he called it a thorn. It's a demonic influence. It is could a fallen angel when they talk about that. It brings the same word, angelos. Bottom line, total disobedience, or it's symbolic of, you know, these fallen angels had, a third of them fell with Satan, Lucifer. And now we find in 2 Peter and the book of Jude, twice it says that all the fallen angels have been tied up in Tartarus. They've been chained up in a compartment of hell. All right? So if they're chained up, then if you want to do theological, then the angels couldn't be around, all right? So they're demonic influence. And then you have another theological thing where they talk about demons. Well, who are demons? What are demons? One day when I teach on creation again, we'll go through that and we'll understand what these people are and where it came from. And so you have to get, because that's not what we're teaching today, but you have to understand all through the Bible is to understand the fullness of the Bible. Your greatest goal in life is to become a disciple. Because then becoming a disciple, it will produce group 4, lordship, that Jesus Christ is fully Lord in your life. But it's getting in the Word of God And the plan of the enemy from the time of the fall is to take the word out of you. That's a simplistic declaration of what it means to walk with God. Get in the word, hide the word in your heart so that it will produce fruit, and the enemy will come in and try to rip the word out of your heart. He can't when you understand it, the parable, and you understand what he tries to do and how you keep the word in your heart. That's what we're learning here in this series. So when you see a word, look up every scripture that has the same word, and the Bible will define itself. Here's another thought. All right, we're not at the first point yet. How many of you know the promised land does not resemble or represent heaven? A lot of people use that. The promised land is representing. No, it's not. Why? Because there will still be enemies in the promised land. There were giants in the promised land. And there's no giants or enemies in heaven. All right? The promised land represents the overcoming Christian life. What happened to Israel? They went in. If they followed the word, kept the word, they conquered. They became victorious. They didn't follow the word. They fell to sin. That's our story. So if you drive the enemy out, then you can live in the land safely where God wants you to live. Numbers 33, 55 tells us this. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides. And they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Judges 2:3 says, therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. Demonic influence. So again, what does that mean for us today? Israel had literal enemies. We have spiritual enemies. If we don't drive out bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, hate, malice, envy, jealousy, lust, pride, and anger, it's going to be a thorn in our life. It will be a thorn in your side. A spirit will attack you, and we're thinking Hollywood when I say that. It's like, you know, someone's standing there with a cross, and they're just light, you know, like that, and no, that's not it. There's a demonic influence. Jesus Christ has already overcome the world. Be of good cheer. But if we allow the word to be stolen out of our hearts, then we open doors. I'll use that term. That's a couple series down the line. We'll open doors for the enemy to come in and create a lot of havoc in our life. So, spiritual entity will attack you in that area of the word when you allow these things to stay in your life by stealing the word. So, Jesus tells us three areas now in the scripture we read of where he attacks us. All right, so here's point number one, the cares of this world. Anybody ever lay awake at night? Because of what's going on in your life, the cares of the world. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Do you realize you and I are not designed to carry a burden? Then how come that's all I have? We're not designed to carry a burden. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, we are the sheep of his pasture. Sheep are not burden animals. If you're going to move your house, you rent a U-Haul, not a sheep, to carry your furniture. So what are we supposed to do is lay our burdens at the feet of the shepherd. How do you do that? Here, have it. No, how you do that, you begin taking in the Word of God. Taking in the Word of God. And I'll explain that later. So we lay down all of our cares for the Lord, but you know what we do? We lay it down. And we look at it. What's it going to do? I'm tired of waiting. And what do? We pick it back up, don't we? And we take it because, God, if you're not going to do anything about this, then I'm going to do it. Well, a mature discipleship waits on the Lord. Because your joy is not in what you're experiencing. Your joy is passionate about the Word, keeping the Word in your heart and what it says, who you are and what you will have in your future. Because God is the one that has planned out your life. God is the one that sets it in focus. And if you're in the Word of God, you will continue to see it. And you will not fall to the stuff of the cares of the world. But we don't leave it. We go and pick it up again. So Jesus said the cares of the world will choke the Word. I know the Word says that, but out of the heart the mouth speaks. You don't speak very well when you're choking. How many times you're reading the Bible and you think, I don't even know what that's saying. Because your mind is wandering with the cares of the world. I have learned I'm human. And I have learned that there are things that I need to do to prepare my mind and my heart to get in the Word of God. I was here this morning at 5:25 this morning. Not because I don't know how to teach, not because I wasn't ready. You ask Michelle. She's got my notes through June. And the reality is because I want to prepare my heart that when I get up here, I will say exactly what the Holy Spirit has shown me. And that no enemy in hell can stop what I'm trying to bring to you. Why? Because I'm passionate about the Word. I love God with all my heart, and I love you. Amen. And when we, as a body of Christ, begin to do that in who we are, and we begin to live our lives out, and we come to church not because we have to, but because we get to. I get to fellowship with great people who have spiritual battles every single day like I do. But we join hands together and we worship God and God comes, His presence is here together and we see the powerful God bring healing and salvation and restoration in our lives because we become passionate about everything that God says in His Word. Passionate about getting in the Word, journaling, loving our spouses, forgiving, attending church and loving our church and the people that are in it. Here's the second thing Jesus says that steals your joy. The deceitfulness of riches. 1 Timothy, now notice the terminology, the deceitfulness of riches. It doesn't say riches. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, arrogantly superior, or disdainful, nor to trust in, watch this, uncertain riches, but in the living God. Trust in God, not riches, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. See, the blessings of the Lord are yea and amen. God wants to prosper each one of us. But we have to get to the place of understanding that the prosperity is because of obedience to God. And when He blesses, those are certain riches. But if we're working and we're doing this and, you know, I can't go to church, I can't get in the Word, I'm so busy and building this and building that, That's uncertain riches. And the enemy will come in and steal the word from you, and you will make decisions based on your own strength and not the strength of the Lord. See, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Verse 9. But those who desire, the same word desire, is translated in other translations as lust. To be rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, not money, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, God is not against your business or your bank account to prosper. But when you put that in front of him, that's what he's saying, that the enemy is going to come in, Mark chapter 4, and steal the word and cause problems in your home, in your business, in your finances, in every area of your life, because God has not become first. You are not, watch this, a true disciple. Don't trust in money. Don't desire money. Don't love money. So why would he tell us these basic three things about money? He's not speaking of your success. He's telling you, Mark chapter 4, this is the way the enemy comes in, the deceitfulness of riches, to rip you off, to keep you from me, to keep you from growing, so that instead of becoming a true disciple, you go backwards. You're born again. You've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. You love God. You attend church once in a while. But you know what? Bottom line, you're going to go to heaven. But what God is saying is, I want you to succeed in everything you put your hands to when you follow what I ask you to do. Keep the word in your heart. Wow. Wow. Can I hear someone say, okay, there you go. It's like some of you are looking at each other, what do I say? What do I do? So the Lord is talking about a heart issue. In the heart, don't bring that trust of money. Money's a tool that God will bless you with to use for his kingdom. And watch this. Use for his kingdom is to bless your home too. It's to bless your children and your children's children. When you're walking and you're a tither and you're a giver, and that's next week. But when you move into a realm of life that you trust God in everything, you are now a disciple. Dive into it. If you fall asleep reading the Word of God, when you get up, start reading again. Go back to the beginning. Doesn't matter. Keep charging. Do what you need to do. Become passionate about that. Man, I've been in ministry 46 years, and I am more passionate about Scripture than I've ever have before. I just love the Word of God. I laugh a lot now in the Word. Because, you know, the Bible is really kind of funny. It really is. And if you read it and see it, a loving, caring, gracious God that just works with me. Okay, don't laugh so hard. You. Yeah. But his goal is you're his daily delight. And he just wants you to take the word in and keep it. Money will promise you everything, but only God can give it to you. Money will promise you significance, identity, security, happiness, peace, joy, a better marriage, a better house. But only God can give you true significance and identity. That's called true riches. Because someone can say, well, my name is Gary and I'm this. Well, that's in the flesh. But when I know that God's called me, that he loves me, that he's forgiven me, that I'm living my life in such a joy because I got the most amazing family. Sorry, I do. I got the most amazing family. I think greatest. See, you can say the same thing because you know who you are. Oh, but Pastor, I've made all these mistakes. I care, but I don't. I don't really care what you did in your past. What are you doing today? What are you doing today? You know, it's kind of like crazy that if you want change in your life, just keep doing the same thing. No. Mark 4 is saying, understand what happens. Now that you know, if there's areas of my life that needs a change, I choose to change. Amen. I love good movies. I love sports. I watched a little golf yesterday. I didn't watch the Dodgers. They beat my Tigers. Man. Dodger fans. Kidding. All right. See, that's part of when you have the joy of the Lord, you can really joke around about stuff. When I laugh a lot, I really do. I'm around a lot of places that I laugh a lot. And there are times I want to say things just because I love to joke around that I don't. But see, because there's a peace in my heart, not because I'm perfect, far from it, but because the Word of God, I'm a true disciple. I'm a true disciple. I'm still growing in that. So let's go on. Here's the third point. The desires of other things. I love the way he says this. Matthew 6:31 says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He says, the people who don't know God seek other things. But your heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows the things you need. So let me just say this to you. I've learned to ask for it. Don't seek things, seek God. The desire for other things in the Greek is epithumia, actually means desire. In the New Testament, it's stated 38 times. It's translated 3 times with the word desire, and 35 times it's translated lust. The King James Version translated lust. It's translated desire in Mark chapter 4. It's translated desire when Paul talks about going to heaven. He desires to go to heaven. Paul says, I have this desire to go to heaven, but I know I need to be here with you. It's more profitable for me that I stay with you. Because he's walking in the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. See, the root of the word is strong passion. So the other place translated desire is when Jesus is talking about the last meal. He said, I fervently desire to eat this meal with you. So we see this word is translated in different ways. The same word translated in different ways. It's translated lust, desire. But what I'm telling you is that we need to remove lust, wrong thinking and desires out of our heart. How do you do that? Getting in the Word of God, being discipled, and to have a passion for the Word of God so that when Satan tries to turn your passion into lust for other things, God says, be passionate about him and the kingdom of God. Seek him first, the word of God. And he says, I promise you, you will win and you will receive the abundance that I have promised you and want to give you in your life. Amen. That's the God that we serve. So let's go ahead and stand. I want to proclaim something over you. Not in a prayer, but a proclamation. I'm sensing, but it's not right now, but I'm sensing next week, the week after, that the Holy Spirit is preparing before us a table. And there's going to be a word that's going to be given, a proclamation, a greater proclamation that's going to be given to us as a church. And I'm hearing that, and I'm in my office this morning when I was praying for you. There was something given to me, but I believe that this is going to take place in the next few weeks. But let me say this over you. I proclaim everyone that hears my voice, watching online too, will fall passionately in love with Father God and the Word. Let me say it again. I proclaim everyone that hears my voice will fall passionately in love with Father God and His Word. Because passion for God drives out lust for other things. That's a true disciple. Love for the Word will drive out these things. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness three times, He said, "It is written." It is written. What has the Word of God said to you? What has the Word of God said to you today? What's been in your heart? What's been driving you? Put it in the correct gear. The Word of God will change your life by being a true disciple. Father, I thank you for the Word, for the passion for the Word. Lord, you see the hearts of every man and woman in this house. Everyone that is watching online, you see their hearts. Solidify what has been proclaimed from this pulpit. It has everything to do with who you are in our lives. Jesus, you are Lord and our Savior. We love you to this day. Father, every decision I make, everything that I do, I proclaim that I will do everything that I can to follow what the Word of God says, not what the flesh or these demonic influence, the dirty birds come in to try to steal the Word and replace it with the three things we talked about today. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that. And I receive the engrafted Word of God in my heart. That it changes everything. And that I do even better in everything that I do today. Because of my passion for you. In Jesus' name, I proclaim that over everybody in this house. Everyone says, amen, amen. God bless you. I love you. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you tonight.